Welcome to Voices of Vision with your host, Jane Asher. Jane is inspired daily by discovering the deepest passions in others. Each week, she will be digging deep to find what excites, motivates, and empowers individuals to explore new horizons, achieve their greatest dreams, and live up to their full potential. The time is now for Voices of Vision.
Happy Monday and welcome to Voices of Vision. My guest today is executive coach Terry Sitterman. And Terry is a writer for Forbes. She has written a book. She works with incredibly talented high-end CEOs and executive directors. She's in the Pacific Northwest, but she has expanded to pretty much reach globally. So welcome to the show, Terry. How are you today?
Thanks, Jane. I'm good.
You know, Terry, I have to ask you, how did you go from, you used to write for wine, you wrote about wine, and you were this writer. Now, how do you segue from that to being an executive coach?
Well, wine was a hobby, so I was always a writer. My main job was public relations. I did corporate communications for companies all over the Northwest and all over the country, really. And it was really through, I was a ghostwriter. So I was ghostwriting books for CEOs.
Okay.
And the process of ghostwriting, I didn't realize this, but it's very similar to coaching. And so what I realized was there was some sort of impact happening in the questions that I was asking. Mm-hmm. Clearly the things we were talking about wouldn't go into the book, but it started to affect the different aspects of the business. And so that really piqued my interest, and I found a program out of Florida, Center for Executive Coaching, went through it, and changed careers.
I love that. So
And I still drink wine.
I love that.
I just don't write about it.
You're a woman after my own heart. All right, so you're an executive coach. What exactly does that entail? For someone that is like listening today and they're like, I have no idea what an executive coach would do.
Yeah, you know, I think it's different for everyone. So the type of issues that I work with CEOs on are mostly around their leadership and their team leadership, so on the executive team. So I do work with a lot of CEOs who are first-time CEOs, and so we work on executive presence. We're constantly working on communication skills. We're often working on their personal brand and thought leadership, basically how they want to be positioned within the industry that they are. And really, I mean, it can go from strategy, from company strategy, all the way to kind of a personal strategy. So depending on where they are in their cycle of being the CEO, with seasoned CEOs, I work more on culture and always communication, always people, and really kind of living the values that they set forth as they're changing rapidly, because any company in business today is changing rapidly.
Oh my goodness. Boy, isn't that the truth. What about leadership qualities? What are the leadership qualities that you admire the most?
I admire humility, of course. I admire self-awareness. I think that without self-awareness, the road to leadership is a very difficult one. I mean, you have to have self-awareness, and you can see when you see the CEOs who kind of erupt in the media, you can see the low self-awareness that they have. Courage is just most important. CEOs who are willing to assess risk, take risk, and have the courage to do and say things that other people don't want to hear. CEOs who give that type of feedback as well as welcome that feedback, have the courage to hear what needs to be said, I think is something I just absolutely admire it. A CEO who's willing to listen, who's willing to be open, who's willing to, you know, who really does want to innovate and really does want to move fast and break things and keep going and fail and go forward. I mean, I admire that a lot. We have a lot of that here in Seattle. You have a lot of that down in California.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you ever run across someone where you're working, they've hired you, and you have this relationship, and you just don't like the person? what do you do? Do you end up firing a client? I mean, because you don't want to have a bad situation with the company or the corporation. How do you handle that?
So without being a coach, I worked for a number of companies, you know, where I worked for different types of CEOs, and I got pretty good at determining who I wanted to work for and who I didn't. And
okay.
So I'm really good at deciding if this person is coachable, first and foremost, and secondly, okay. is this someone I want to work with? So I don't end up firing people because I have great clients.
I got you. So you've done your due diligence, you know, prior to even taking this person on with a contract. You know whether or not it's going to work.
Oh, I learned some hard lessons along the way. Yes.
Okay. But that's cool. I like hearing that. So you don't even have to go there. You don't even have to get in that space of where you would fire someone because you have great clients. So you put on these amazing forums. You have the CEO forums, which you do quarterly, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, what do you, you know, what's your goal with that? What are you trying to do with these forums? And how do people get involved if they want to get, you know, bring their people or attend something like this?
Sure. So the CEO forums came out of, the idea came out of the book I wrote, which is called From the CEO's Perspective. And in writing the book, I felt so honored and privileged to be learning from such amazing leaders. I interviewed 20 CEOs from around the Northwest region, people from Alaska Airlines, people, the CEO from Alaska Airlines, Tom Douglas Restaurants, University of Washington Medicine. So pretty high profile.
Sure.
And it was just amazing to learn what I was learning. And I thought there's really no opportunity to hear them speak in such a candid way anywhere in the city. And so I started putting on CEO forums down at the World Trade Center in Seattle. And it's three CEOs talking about whatever leadership issue I think we should be talking about. And there are plenty of issues to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's CEOs from companies like Concur, companies like some of our big hospitals here, Virginia Mason, Mod Pizza, which is a national company, talking about culture, talking about how to engage people, how to, I mean, we have a really competitive landscape for talent. Mm-hmm. So what are CEOs, how are CEOs thinking about attracting talent and retaining talent? Those are big issues right now that every CEO faces. So really I wanted to give people more access to the leaders in our community and really be able to learn from the best. And I didn't realize that I loved moderating, but I discovered that I love to moderate. So
see, there you go. Really, another talent.
Yeah.
Is the public, are they allowed to attend or are these private events?
No, they're public events. They are limited. It's a very intimate setting, so we max out at about 70 people.
Okay.
And so the environment I really want to create is that the audience feels like they're part of the conversation, and that's what I've been able to do. So, yeah, they're open to the public. The next one is September 14th at the World Trade Center in Seattle.
Okay, awesome. And do you already have, like, do you have any issues at all with getting executives to say, yes, I'll be on your panel?
Once in a while, you know, there's a scheduling conflict, but
yeah.
For the most part, people are willing. The next one that's coming up is women, men, and influence.
Mm.
And so we're going to talk about how women need to help women and how men need to help women, how we need to really break down, you know, get more women in the C-suite, get more women on the public boards.
There you go. I absolutely love that. So those are the CEO forums. So then that rolls into Leadership Lab 19. I'm looking around, I'm poking around, and I see that you have a very big event coming up, but it doesn't look like that one's open to the public. What is the Leadership Lab 19?
Yeah, so Leadership Lab number 19 is, it is not open to the public. It's invite only, and I'm really leaning on my network of CEOs to send their best emerging leaders. So people who are really on the trajectory to be the thought leaders of the future, to be in the C-suite of the future. And the idea came because in my coaching, a thread I was constantly hearing was from CEOs was, I wish people could see my perspective from, you know, from where I sit. I wish that my team could connect the dots faster from, you know, see it from where I sit. from the CEO's perspective. So since I wrote the book called From the CEO's Perspective, I thought I could probably figure out how to solve this. So it's a day-long event that starts out October 19th, and it evolves into a 12-month program where the different executives are put into peer-to-peer advisory groups. So you're in with other companies, other functions, because I want a variety of, I want HR there, I want finance there, I want marketing there. I want people to really be able to elevate their thinking while they might be in charge of finance. I want them to really elevate their thinking from all the perspectives that the CEO sees. It's going to be a really cool kick butt event.
it's an extraordinary concept, actually. I'm really, really listening to you and what you're creating as you are creating this culture and this opportunity for leaders to help one another and also to elevate the people that they're bringing on their staffs and to educate them further so that they have the best of the best. What a great idea.
The role of the C-suite is changing. There was a great article in Harvard Business Review that talked about the changing roles of leaders in the C-suite. No longer are you just doing finance. You have to think much broader. Right. You have to think about strategy. You have to think about marketing. You really need to have a broader perspective and a much mm-hmm. greater skill set when it comes to being a leader. And that's continuing to evolve as all of our companies evolve. I mean, in the next 5 years, there are going to be so many new jobs that we've never even thought about. Mm. So, we all have to be thinking about that.
It's exciting. My guest today is Terry Sitterman. She is an executive coach. She's an author, keynote speaker. She's based in Seattle and puts on these extraordinary events from the CEO forums to this Leadership Lab number 19. That's coming up soon. When we come back, we're going to hear from my sponsor. We're going to talk more about what's next and perhaps hear a little bit about if she's thinking about writing that second book, because right now she has From the CEO's Perspective, and you can find that on her website. It's Talon.com, or is it TalonLLC.com? If you want to follow along, just Talon.com?
Talon LLC.
Okay, LLC.com. Okay, great. Awesome. We'll be back in just a minute on Voices of Vision.
Voices of Vision with Jane Asher. We'll be right back on Empower Radio.
Hi, it's Nancy Newcomer, host of the Back to the Kitchen Minute on Empower Radio. And if you're ever in the San Francisco Bay Area, you can listen to me on 98.5 KFOX, the South Bay's classic rock. Here to talk to you about the Go Cleanse program. I have been a cleanser for about 3 years. I haven't been on a cleanse the whole time, but it's nice to be able to pick it up and feel good, drop a little weight, and just get in my groove again. I love summertime cleansing because some of the best food, best veggies, best produce, all available. And if you like to get on the grill, it is a perfect time to do it. You can grill salmon and chicken. Get creative with shish kebab this summer. If you're growing zucchini in your garden, throw that on your shish kebab. All kinds of great things that you can eat on the Go Cleanse program. The coaches will help you out with the recipes. So much fun, and you're going to feel fantastic. If you'd like to find out more about the program, go to GoCleanse.com.
Welcome back to Empower Radio's Voices of Vision with your host, Jane Asher.
Welcome back to Voices of Vision. My name is Jane Asher, and my guest today is Terry Sitterman. She's an executive coach, author. She's a keynote speaker. She writes for Forbes. Hey, Terry, let's talk about that. Forbes is huge. Everyone knows Forbes, right? How do you become a writer for them? I mean, that's really high-end stuff. How did that happen?
I think I was nominated to be part of their National Coaches Council. And okay. So when I accepted that, I'm able to write for them. And so I need to be doing more writing, but I really enjoy the writing that I am doing. My next piece is going to be about pace, because we're all flying at such a rapid pace. And when you have a CEO who really functions at that very highest level of pace, it's really hard to, not everyone can, not everyone is able to have a sense of urgency all the time. And so it's right. a challenge for the leader as well as for the employees to really find some sort of balance or awareness that, people are starting to get burned out.
I love that. That's a really compelling angle, you know, because it's true. You know, the best executives are really moving at a hair-burning pace, and they're constantly, because the innovation that's happening, and with now social media, the way that it has exploded, and like you said, there are so many jobs that we don't even think about now that are going to come into the realm and new positions that they have to be able to manage. Out of the executive leaders that you work with and these individuals that have these incredible high-end jobs, what are some of those? I mean, we talked about qualities. Do you see a certain theme or a trait among the most successful people that you work with?
There's a few things that I see that I find kind of interesting. Even just going back to the energy, they all tend to be at that high level of energy. But what happens when you're at that high level of energy is you're really good at starting things. You're not always good at finishing things, right? So you really need to be aware of the people who are on your executive team who are perhaps lower energy, who may be more reflective. That's another piece, because as we're all flying so fast, we don't take the time to reflect and really look at, you know, where things could have gone better, where we failed, and where, you know, how we're going to do it differently in the future. So that's where a CEO needs to have the self-awareness of their own strengths as well as the others on the team. The other one that I find really interesting is I'm going to call it objective judgment. So on one end of the spectrum, you're going to have someone who really follows a hunch, who's very intuitive, and then on the other side, you're going to have someone who really likes the facts. Really, like, it doesn't matter how you feel about it; you just really want the facts, and the facts tell the story. All of that is true. But for those leaders who fall on that left side of the category, who have a hunch or more intuitive, what I find is they tend to have to spend a lot of time proving what they know. And so it's a really interesting, especially when I see an executive team that all fall onto that left side where they're really, you know, they're all really intuitive. They spend a lot of time gathering the facts, really presenting the story, which kind of slows you down. If people understood how intuitive those particular people are, I think you could move faster. I think you could, you know, it takes kind of a higher level of awareness to understand that.
Wow.
That's an really interesting one.
I'm like, in my mind, I'm looking at your right side and your left side, and I could see where that would be an issue if you don't have somebody that's right there with you, to have to explain that, just that God-given intuition that you have. Mm-hmm. People call it their gut instinct or following their heart or whatever it is. It is. It's just that factor that's hard to put wrap yourself around.
And we're so data driven. So without data, you know, then whatever we're thinking doesn't mean anything, and that's just not true. You can always find data to back it up, and that's what ends up happening, and that's great. But you know, when someone who's on that left side says, you know, I this deal's not going to go through. This is a bad idea, and you still go through the whole process and come back, you know, at the end the deal falls through. Well, you could have saved a lot of time.
Yeah. Boy, I bet you deal with some really, really interesting, fun people. It just, what a cool career. And you must love it, because you wouldn't do it if you didn't love what you do.
I cannot think of anything I'd rather do.
Awesome.
You know, the traits that I have don't necessarily fall in with corporate culture. I wasn't very manageable. I like to say what I think, and those things are not always readily accepted in, you know, a corporate environment. So I get to do that now because I'm, you know, that's my job. My job is to challenge CEOs' thinking and to say what isn't being said and to call people out.
I love that. That's exciting, you know, because especially for someone, you know, you're a spitfire, you know, and you don't suffer fools well. So you get in there and you get to roll up your sleeves. And like you said, you have a choice too, because, you know, you're going through the process. If you don't feel that someone's coachable, then you're like, nope, not taking that person on as a client. So you're actually bringing people in that get you. And see the value in what you're going to do with them and coach them along. How fun.
Well, and even it's an interesting, you know, whether they get me, they have to believe in themselves and they have to accept that there's an opportunity for them to be a better leader. And that's what makes them coachable. That's what, you know, they want to be better. They want to learn more. They want to be challenged. And that's not for everyone.
Yeah, true. Okay, so in leadership and with everything that, you know, you've written this book from the CEO's perspective, you are constantly around great information. Are there a few favorite quotes that you have, leadership quotes or things that, like, that you follow in your life personally that really help you stay in your space of being the best you can be to help these individuals?
Yeah, there's one that's hanging right above me, and it's not so much that I follow the philosophy of Ayn Rand, but I do like this quote, and the quote is, the question isn't who is going to let me, it's who is going to stop me. And that is my year of eating fire and being uncomfortable and making it happen. So that's a big
year
one.
Of eating fire.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That is awesome. I think you just helped me write the summary for the show. Absolutely. That's the best. Okay, so you have From the CEO's Perspective, which is your book. So if anybody's listening today and they're like, okay, I'm digging what this lady's putting down, you can find the book. You can find it through the website at talentllc.com and purchase it there. But any plans to write book number two?
Not at this moment. What I'm birthing right now is the Leadership Lab number 19. So that's a big one.
Right.
I've been toying with the idea of writing. You see a lot of books for athletes that talk about, you know, do you love to win or hate to lose? That's kind of the motivation. It's something I've thought a lot about with CEOs, the motivation. It's not, and I think it's an interesting question because the outcome is the same. If the outcome is the same, you win. Are you more motivated to win because you love to win or because you hate to lose? And people who tend to answer the question think that I'm asking a different question, but that's why I need to explain it.
All right.
So that's an idea. But yeah, at the moment, I'm focused on the Leadership Lab number 19.
I like that. Say that again about the winning and the losing.
Are you a CEO who wins because you love to win or because you hate to lose?
That's awesome. Cause that really is a different question. And so from there, you just take that and you take that apart, right? And then work from there.
Well, I mean, you have to dive into a lot of psychology around, you know, for me, so if I answer the question, I don't love to win. I hate to lose. I'm fiercely competitive because I will not lose, but I don't celebrate the win because I don't really care. So you have to get into that psychology.
What a cool job you have. My guest today is Terry Sitterman. She is a writer for Forbes. She has her own book called From the CEO's Perspective. She puts on CEO forums on a quarterly basis in Seattle that are open to the public. So if you happen to be in the Pacific Northwest and this sounds interesting to you, just go on her website because all of the information there is there. And you blog, too. You write a lot, and you're a good writer. I like the way that you are very direct in your style of writing. Like, for instance, when the whole thing came up where Uber was having less than positive reviews and United had their incident where they beat the pulp out of that man that was on the flight, you wrote an article with a sassy word. But I really appreciated that because, you know, you told it the way that you saw it.
Yeah, I pretended that I interviewed both of the CEOs based on what has been said in the press. So it was kind of interesting and clever. They're still in a lot of trouble.
I like it. You're stirring the pot, Terry. This is Voices of Vision. Terry Sitterman, in closing, any final thoughts or anything you want to put out there about leadership? I'll let you have the final word.
You know, I would just say courage. You have to have courage to be a leader. You have to have the courage to say what needs to be said and hear what needs to be heard.
Courage it is. Thank you so much for joining me today. Terry Sitterman from TalonLLC.com if you want to check her out, or if you're listening and you are a CEO and you are in desperate need of some guidance, by all means, contact Terry. All the information is on our website. Terry, thanks so much for taking the time today. I know you're busy, and I do appreciate that you would take the time to come on and talk about all these wonderful leadership qualities and all of the interesting things that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Jane.
Inspired? Motivated? We hope so. Join Jane next week as she connects with another motivated soul, driven to live their life's purpose on Voices of Vision, here on Empower Radio.